Generations Bank has been serving the financial needs of the Finger Lakes region since 1870. Generations combines the best of modern banking with dedication to the local community. Visit them at mygenbank.com. Generations Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Everybody, welcome in after a week off because of, well...
Yeah, what was the reason?
There's a lot of time issues last week. We're back. Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. Paul Russo and Nick Felice here with you. Yeah, last week, I had all the intents and purposes of getting on here and doing a podcast with you, Nick, and for the people. But last week was nonstop basketball for us here, which you can attest to, obviously, a little bit.
I don't even remember what game it was last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday was, let's see, I was in Pittsburgh Sutherland Tuesday, which means Wednesday.
Miners, girls.
I was at.
That's who it was last
Yeah, Honey, I Falls Lima. So, yeah, a little bit everywhere, here, there, and everywhere. That continues this week a little bit, too, so. Looking forward to that. We'll talk about that maybe actually in a minute here. But, yeah, Nick Felice. Nick, how are you doing this week? How are things?
A little disappointed. Paul Skeens got sent down in the minors yesterday. Right. But he's going to be on the Major League camp still. So,
yeah.
Baseball season is full swing.
Yep. I'd say we're about, because of the way they're doing it this year, I think we are about 2 weeks away from our actual preview episode.
Yes.
Only because of the fact that Korea series is like a week ahead of what the actual season is, so
the prospect games are next week.
Yeah, so we're about 2 weeks away from me destroying a tree with all my prep work and stuff like that. So.
I got my picks already.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
They're not official picks, but I was telling my brother Matt.
Your scouting report picks.
Yeah, I have my division champions. I don't have any playoff picks yet, but
well, technically you do if you have division champions.
Well, I don't have who's advancing. I have who's going to win the divisions in the wild cards.
All right.
So. And I've been studying a little bit. Obviously, injuries are playing effect. Sonny Gray might affect my Cardinals pick.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
also,
yeah.
I'm not hitting any home runs in spring.
But before we get into literally the whole podcast, is going to be college basketball because we have conference tournaments starting this week, end of the Power Six conferences, regular seasons in the next coming days. There's been a lot of movement on the bubble already this week, so we're going to get into a bunch of stuff with that. One subject might still be technically, I guess, on the shorter side, but, like, I don't know. The NBA has been the NBA. Baseball's kind of there. The NHL trade deadline's been quiet, but all of a sudden heated up this morning, so.
Yeah, I got one of my guys traded, Vladimir
Tarasenko. Yeah, I like that move for you, but. We'll
need the points.
We'll have a bunch of different stuff involved.
All trying to win fantasy basketball.
Yes. Yeah, I'm behind though, so
it's early.
Yeah, let's do a quick minute on this though. Pretty exciting week here for us collectively. Obviously, here at Finger Lakes One, all the stuff we need to do, Nick, the stuff that you do over at the Times. It's been. I'll start with this, and I'm intrigued to hear your thoughts on this, and we can kind of maybe end it with that. Going into the season, I was really, I think, concerned with, I'd call the overall health locally of just kind of like Finger Lakes East and West and Wayne County teams. It ended up being a pretty successful year. I think at least here at FL1, we had more championship games than ever before to kind of cover, actually, oddly enough. That being said, I'm still maybe slightly concerned about the longevity of like teams here in the grand scheme of it, but I think we had, I'm going to end up miscounting this off the top of my head, but I want to say 5 sectional title winners, 6 title winners across the board for us here locally, which you can't, I think, ask for much better. Like, you know, and we got a couple teams still alive and kicking, going to the Far West Regional, tickets locked already. A couple teams have faltered already, which sucks, but, yeah, I mean, it ended up being a year where I was wrong across a couple different fronts, and I'm happy for that because at the end of the day, I'd rather have more kids succeeding than not in that sense, and I thought it was a pretty good year overall.
again, I think maybe the future I'm a little bit concerned about still locally, just because of the way numbers are trending overall and stuff like that. But, you know, you take the highs with the highs while you can, and I think you have to in this situation.
Yeah, shout out to Dundee Bradford girls, already moving on to the Far West Regional. Wayne boys were already there.
Yep.
Lions can get there tonight, Lion boys.
Yep.
You know, Bloomfield girls, what a game last night. I'd say, yeah, was at that Bloomfield-Dundee game.
All three of the games, not to interrupt, all three of those games this year were really great games. And it's a shame in that sense that they had to face each other to decide who moves on to the States. But at the end of the day, they both come away with a pretty good prize of the sectional title, you know.
I say two games come to my mind. Greatest atmospheres I've ever been to covering a game. Mm-hmm. Last year's Lion boys final, the game they're playing tonight, their final Class C crossover game. I forget who they
Avon, yeah, when they played Pembroke.
It was in Avon. Who they play?
Pembroke, who they beat in the title game this year.
Never really put that together. Yeah, that's right. But yeah, that was a great atmosphere. But last night's Dundee Bloomfield girls game was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I usually show up right before tip, like 5 minutes before.
Right. Yeah.
And it was not in a parking spot. Mm. And Marcus Whitman, which is a huge lot.
Yeah.
And it was standing room only. There wasn't a place to sit. I just sat on the baseline. And I think I ended up parking the school loop a little bit away. But, yeah, unbelievable. Student sections were loud. I knew they would be just following both of those teams in their runs to get to the sectional titles. And, oh, it was a great game. And Dundee was down 7 at halftime, came back and won by 7. So, awesome game. They've been wanting this a while, Dundee girls, and now they're one win away from the state Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way, Lovell Whitman, I guess was kind of forced to do with their gym, unfortunately, but shout out to them. That's an awesome facility. We went down there for the first time in a couple of years this past year, about a month or so ago, give or take now, and really great facility again.
And the Finger Lakes West girls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams in a game like that, in a rubber match.
Yeah.
It's good for that league.
Yeah. Yeah. And continue on. All right, let's move on to our big deal of the day here. College basketball, bubble watch, March Madness, the big dance.
Notes?
I do. I have you can do a little behind baseball here. So I look at a bunch of different stuff. I think we all know about KenPom at this point, right? I know one of the websites I use now pretty heavily is called Bartorvik, bartorvik.com. This one I've used the past couple of years when just kind of looking at bracket and bracketology stuff. It's called Bracket Matrix, and they just kind of combine up, I believe it's well over 150 different bracketologists and bracketologies now, and kind of do like a gross net thing about where teams are and stuff like that. So I've been kind of turning to that now the past few years because it is kind of, instead of looking at five different websites, it just kind of give you everything. And for the most part, they've been pretty spot on with what they have and what they go by and stuff like that. The main topic here, right, is just going to be about, you know, those fringy teams, stuff like that, teams to watch. I do want to start, though, up top with the number one seeds because there's an interesting discourse kind of going on right now about them. And going by this, you have Purdue, Connecticut, Houston. And then according to Bracket Matrix, like I said, they combine every bracket up here that they get. It's over 150. They have Tennessee as the final one seed. And for that, you know, thing, you know, Purdue, Connecticut, and Houston are all number one across all these brackets. It's really the other seeds where it kind of gets weird. Tennessee has the next lowest average seed. It's like 1.4, as they call it. And then right behind them is Arizona at 1.62. And then, you know, the other team getting a one seed here vote-wise throughout the board has been UNC. So they are all sub two. Tennessee's that one seed. I think everybody pretty much agrees that Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, some combination of that will be the overall number one with the other two being number ones. Don't think there's any real discussion beyond them at that point. It's that fourth one that's really fluid. To me, there's, I guess, really, to be fair, five teams that have a case for being that fourth seed, the fourth number one seed. And it's interesting because, too, you know, all that comes down to the region stuff, too. Like, I know I saw, and it's pretty interesting, Nick, and I don't know if how much you've been paying attention to some of these other stuff here, but, like, the one bracketology I follow specifically is CBS. They obviously have they're part of the group that has the tournament, but they're one of the people I turn to, or groups I turn to my most to get my information for college basketball.
Big Jerry Palm guy.
Jerry Palm has UNC as the second seed in the South playing in the Charlotte Regional for the opening rounds, and their first matchup is against High Point, which is a fellow North Carolina school, but closer to Charlotte, right outside of Charlotte.
Wow.
So, like, that would be a hell of a matchup. Not saying that's going to happen. If that does happen, that might be one of my early upset watch teams because High Point's been really good this year, kind of a high score in offense, but here nor there. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting between Tennessee, Houston, North Carolina. Marquette has a backdoor case. One can consider them, really. But, yeah, it will be interesting, that final one-seed spot. Quick rundown here before we get to the rest of the stuff here. As it stands right now, the ACC would have four teams in the tournament, Big Ten 6, Big 12 9, the SEC with 7, Big East with 6, Pac-12 with 2, Mountain West with 6, the Atlantic 10 with 2, the West Coast Conference with 2, and the American Athletic Conference with 2. The Missouri Valley Ivy, the WAC, Southland, South Belt, SoCon, Big West, CUSA, American East, MAC, Colonial, or Coastal now, apology. I forgot that they switched it from Colonial to Coastal
now. Not the Colonial anymore.
It's the Coastal Athletic Conference, so I forgot about that. Apologies to all the Coastal brethren out there. Big South, Horizon, Ohio Valley, Big Sky, Patriot, Metro Atlantic, Summit, MEAC, SWAC, Northeast, and American East all have one team each in as it stands right now.
Last time I knew, there was 32 conferences.
Yep. So, pretty interesting stuff there. I'm going to go ahead and skip to the second page of my notes here because that's where our really big meat and potato stuff kind of sits for what we want to talk about today. Your bubble teams, a.k.a. as they call them here, the at-larges, as we sit right now, Utah, Colorado, Wake Forest, Providence, Iowa, Drake, Pitt, Mississippi, and Syracuse all have pretty interesting cases. I'd say some are better than others. And it's always interesting because inevitably there's typically one or multiple in this situation, as I always say, upsets in the mid-major tournaments that end up taking a lock seed away from a team. I think a perfect example of this might be the Sun Belt this year, where the lock right now is Appalachian State. If you go by paper, it's App State. The team in question here, and they also find themselves on the bubble, and this is what I mean by this, is James Madison. Comes out of the gate strong this year. I think they got as high as 20th ranked, if I remember right. Bit of a fall off, obviously. They find themselves now on the back end of bubble watch, as I call it. They're kind of like, I know people like using the Lenardi thing of last four in, first four out, next four out. They're kind of like, if you go by that element, like the next four out type deal. You're what I would call probably second or third seed in the NIT territory. But, you know, they have a very good chance of winning the Sun Belt tournament, and that would take away App State's spot and more than likely not
win. They've won 10 in a row.
And more than likely knock out App State, for example, from the tournament. And that would cause more chaos because at that point, App State probably has a better case of getting in than, say, Pitt. Syracuse, for example, stuff like that. So it's always fun. So for you, talk about those bigger bubble teams, like I mentioned. Who do you think has the best case right now to get in?
Well, I'll go on the bubbles, but to go back to the one seeds real quick.
Yeah.
Just looking at it, Purdue with a big win at Illinois last night.
Yeah.
I think that pretty much solidifies their one seed spot.
I think some of that for me still depends on conference tournaments, to be honest.
Now, Houston's definitely conference tournament because you got Iowa State, and you got, for some reason, Kansas still up there. They lose every
Baylor
week. Yeah. So, I mean, if they don't do well in that, I think they will.
Or if they do well.
Yeah, obviously. Then they, yeah, they'll get the one seed. They control their own destiny at the one seed. And the other team, Connecticut, obviously. You say Marquette's got an outside chance. I mean, maybe. Maybe they both get it, but I don't. They don't. They'll never jump UConn. I mean,
Marquette has the seventh lowest average seed total at 2.08. So that means that there are people out there that do have them as a one seed somewhere in their bracket. Yeah. You know.
Sure, we'll see. But Tennessee, yeah, obviously, huge game tonight. I just saw they play at South Carolina tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've bought into Tennessee, and they've let me down in past years.
Yeah.
And They're good. Not a lot of defense on that SEC, though. Alabama cannot play a lick of defense. And so I'm not really high on them. So that's going to come down to the conference tournament. If Tennessee can win the SEC tournament, they're definitely one seed. I just don't know if they definitely can.
Right.
But to go back to your bubble teams, it's those teams like a James Madison pulling out that conference tournament.
Uh-huh.
I like to think they would take App State out, but they have a good resume. They have a great case to make it over a team like Pittsburgh, who's struggled at times. And Syracuse, unfortunately, had a tough loss last night at Clemson. I think that not only was that huge for the resume to win that game last night, but it also hurt their chances at a double bye.
Yeah.
Now they're basically not, and I think they're eliminated from double bye now because they have no more games left.
Right.
So that hurt them because now they have to win four games to get the automatic bid and an ACC tournament. Excuse me?
You're good.
Do you mind?
You're good. Apologies.
In an ACC tournament that Syracuse has never had any history with. I mean, they've never made the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think too far back. I don't even know if they've ever made the semifinals.
In the ACC?
Yeah. Maybe once.
2020, I think.
Yeah, right before the pandemic. Yeah. But now they're forced to probably win that term, which kind of sucks because they're on an 11-loss team.
Uh-huh.
And you lose the one game in the ACC tournament. It's a 12-loss team. A lot of 12-loss teams have made the NCAA tournament. Let's be real. And it's not like they don't have any quality wins. They beat North Carolina. And I know a lot of people are out for that game, but they still have an Oregon win on their resume as well. So.
Right.
And not a lot of bad. I mean, they have a couple bad losses. They did get a couple.
Georgia Tech. I mean, there are people out there that have Pitt well above Syracuse in the bubble watch, for example. And Syracuse swept Pitt this year. Yeah. You know,
that's the problem with college basketball and probably college sports now that we're getting a lot in football too. But they don't care that you beat these teams.
Yeah.
They don't. It's all about your resume. It doesn't matter that they lost to Pittsburgh twice. It's about Pittsburgh having a better resume overall, which is so dumb. Where's the eye test? Two games. That's a big sample size.
Syracuse also has a better record than Pitt too. You know.
They don't care about records either. It's about quad one wins and getting wins on the road rather because it's a big win for when they beat North Carolina, but because it was at home, it wasn't as big.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy to me. Like they still beat the team, and I like Syracuse, but Notre Dame's my team, but. I'd be pissed if they don't make this tournament. And all signs are showing they're not making this tournament.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be mad. I think it depends about who gets in above them. You know, it's tough ignoring a 20-win big power conference team in that sense. It's just interesting because I look at the main bubble teams here, right? And I kind of ran down them before. And there's only one non-Power 6 team in Drake that's kind of sitting on the main bubble right now, as I call it. And in my mind, I put them in the tournament anyway with Indiana State out of the Missouri Valley. Like, personally speaking, that's kind of the way I view it. It's just one of those things where I kind of look at these lists, especially the tail end where it's a lot of de facto locks just because of the conferences, right? Maybe not the best example, right? But Stetson in the Atlantic Sun is the Atlantic Sun lock right now. And that's just because the teams right behind them in the conference aren't eligible for the tournament this year. you know, because they're fresh into the conference or fresh into D1, as a few of these schools in the Atlantic Sun are. So, like, they would need something catastrophic to happen for them not to be the ones locked into the tournament, right? You know, you have to go up the list here to get to a Power 6 school, and that's Seton Hall as an 11 seed to be the first ones locked into the tournament that aren't one of the mid-majors. And then right above them is New Mexico as in the Mountain West. And for whatever reason in basketball, we don't consider the Mountain West a power conference, even though we probably kind of should.
Especially with 16.
Right, right.
Do you look at the net rankings?
I have a love-hate relationship with net. I don't think it's a secret on here that I do believe in analytics, and I believe in the numbers that analytics give us, but at the same token, I firmly believe that the ultimate way to grade something is somewhere in the middle of traditional and analytics. So net for me is always a big... It's probably the one I actually have the least faith in, just because college basketball is just so wonky.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
The net rankings are awful.
Yeah.
Syracuse is 84, two spots behind Ivy League's 8-loss Yale.
Yeah.
I don't know how many quality wins Yale has to be two spots out of Syracuse, who beat North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, they're 10 spots. Syracuse is 10 spots behind 15-15 Maryland.
Right.
That's just
see, that's exactly a good point where, like, that's why I like looking at, like, Bartorvik, where their analytic features way more emphasis on your offense and actual defense and stuff like that. Not so much your strength of schedule or who you played. Like, when Syracuse, and mind you, it wasn't the most glamorous win in the world, but, like, you beat Louisville on the road, and that dropped them in the net.
Yeah.
You know, and I think they stayed pretty stationary following last night's loss against Clemson. Like, on what planet does that make any sense? It doesn't.
It doesn't.
You know, so I don't know. It's really weird. The interesting teams here on the bubble for me, outside of obviously Syracuse, I mentioned Wake. If Wake got in above Syracuse, I have no problem with that. I mean, Wake, for example, absolutely curb stomps Syracuse.
Pittsburgh, no.
Pitt, no. Wake has a really compelling case. Their main issue is they just had about as worse a loss at the wrong time as you could have against, I don't want to call them floundering because they aren't like Louisville, but like that Georgia Tech team isn't great. Like they're in the middle of a pretty big rebuild themselves with Damon Stoudemire. And like in 2 years, like I could see them being the bubble team, and like it's not going to be a bad loss if you were to lose to them, but this ain't 2026 right now.
No. What happened to Miami?
Yeah, I mean, the ACC, maybe that's a good question to kind of bring up because, like I mentioned, ACC has four teams at the moment kind of in the bracket. And
you could get up to maybe six or
and,
seven.
And they are the lowest of the Power Sixes with that. Or second lowest, apology. Pac-12 is kind of everywhere this year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Mountain West has more than them. They're really only – and this is the thing where I look at this and, like, the Atlantic 10, I know people have already gotten at me about this, but, like, the Atlantic 10 with two teams, that could get as high as four depending upon what happens this final weekend into the tournament for them.
That's another conference that doesn't get enough love.
No.
Used to back in the day.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been a lot of conference realignment, but.
That's a really great, and, like, I don't think people realize this. Like, they actually have a decent, for them, it's a decent TV deal with NBC Sports. Like, obviously, we know Dayton's going to be a lock-in. It's looking like Richmond's going to be that second team that's locked in. But, like, depending on what happens in the tournament, like, VCU has a shot. Bonaventure still has a shot. I could see Loyola, maybe, but I think for them, they'd have to win the tournament.
Sister Jean.
Exactly. Back again one more time. But, like, Rhode Island's always still traditionally good in that. St. Louis is actually in a down spot right now, which is really weird. But, like, yeah, it's a sneaky great comp. George Mason's in it. George Washington's in it.
What about St. Joe's?
St. Joe's, former Final Four team in our youth. How about that? So, yeah, pretty interesting stuff there. Yeah, and for the A-10, too, this also speaks volumes to this. I feel like the Missouri Valley should have more than one lock as well in Indiana State. I mentioned Drake already, but like Missouri Valley's very sneakily had a pretty good year. It didn't end up being as great because there's a lot of in-conference beating up on each other. Like going into conference play, Bradley looked like they had a really good shot to make it in as well. So
they're kind of like Sun Belt a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's actually a really good
comp. Indiana State, if they don't win that conference tournament,
they're in trouble. They could be. And it's by no means of themselves. Right, yeah. So, and it's by no issue of themselves, right? I mean, Indiana State, like any team this year, has had a couple stumbles. I think they went, as soon as they got ranked, they lost back-to-back to teams they should not have lost against. I think they lost to, like, Missouri State. Is it Southern Illinois the other one? But, like, yeah, just not good losses, but they rebounded nicely. I mean, I'm good to see that my guy, Thick Sweetness, Robbie Avila, getting some love nationally now. It's great. I've been on him all year at the jump. He's been awesome. So
hey, you told me about it. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Want a fun fact?
Sure.
ACC tournament next year, when they have 18 teams,
yeah,
it's still going to stay a 15-team tournament, the bottom three teams.
I don't mind that, yeah.
Wish they go to 16. Big East went to 16.
Yeah.
They said they're going to stick with 15.
Yeah.
And bottom three teams do not make it.
I can't wait for SMU and Cal and Stanford to be welcomed into Greensboro, North Carolina.
Also, yeah, I know.
Also, like, I'm so happy, and this is like, and this is why I hate the ACC with like a lot in me, but like, I don't know if you have seen the way it's, like, this is like, so they're doing in DC again this year for the tournament,
yeah, this, yeah.
And then it's going back to like Charlotte for a couple of years, and it's like Greensboro for three straight years. I'm like, what are we doing? Freaking, I do not mean to disparage the people in the city of Greensboro. I'm sure it's lovely. It's one of my next stops when I do the minor league ballpark kind of swing through.
Great, but like great affiliate.
Yeah, yeah, it's Pirates, right?
Yep, high A.
But the ACC tournament has no business being in Greensboro, North Carolina.
I hope the Stanford student section makes it.
Yeah,
but I lost my train of thought. But.
Yeah, I apologize. I end up going on a rant that I didn't anticipate coming.
Oh, did you know North Carolina's schedule next year? They don't have to go to Stanford, Cal, or SMU.
Really?
I assume that it's going to flip-flop the next year, because now with 20 teams or 18 teams, 20 games, there's two teams you play every year.
Right.
And it's going to stay like that.
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear who the Syracuse got? Notre Dame and Boston College.
Thank God.
Us Northern schools should stick together.
Yeah. 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 I'm a big fan of Syracuse having to go on the whole West Coast swing next year.
Especially for football.
Jesus. Well, football I could kind of care less about. At least one's home and one's away, but they got all three on the road next year.
The poor field hockey.
That's crap.
Poor field hockey team has to go all the way to Cal.
Yeah. That'll happen. All right, let's talk about some more bubble teams here.
Villanova.
Well, it's interesting to bring up Villanova because looking at this list.
Well, it's great about.
They are in it as a 10 seed right now. They're on 110 brackets of the 125 submitted so far. Average seeding of, let me double check this here, 10.5. So they're listed as a 10 seed. Yeah, a couple of these teams who were on the bubble have had some nice couple week runs. It's very funny to me. Again, looking back at this whole week, we were talking about how Gonzaga was on the bubble a couple weeks ago, and because of the past couple weeks, they find themselves back up in 8 seed. And that's another conference, by the way, the West Coast, who, like, again, personally, I would probably lean on having one more in besides the two of them, but I just don't see it happening. I think San Fran's probably going to have to win the tournament for that to happen. But
well, they lost BYU.
They have a case.
That was a big loss for that conference.
Yeah. Was it low?
Hey, shout out Noah Waterman.
Savannah.
Savannah guy. Savannah, born and raised. Went to the...
On the playground is where he spent most of his days.
What's the Finger Lakes Christian School?
Yeah, down on the lake.
Yeah, shout out. But he's in the Big 12, and the Big 12 has gotten so many quality wins this year. I've said this before, the problem with the Big 12 or any conference like that is you lose games, they're not bad losses, and you win games, it's always a quality win.
Right.
And that's why Kansas keep like got, seems I like mean, they lose all the time.
They have the most with 9 as of right now.
Nobody's ever gotten 12. I think the highest has been 11 a few times. Mm-hmm. Big ACC the 1 year,
right.
Big 10.
Mm-hmm.
And every time though, I'm pretty sure if you check the facts, reality, but
stat boy.
I think every time someone gets double digit teams,
yeah,
majority of them go out early.
Right.
It's crazy.
That's the numbers game at that point.
And I know people don't like to go off past success, but it just sucks for the ACC because they always seem to do well in the tournament. We had Miami last year. We had North Carolina the year before. Mm. We always do well in the tournament. I don't know where the hatred of the conference has come from. And I don't know. I think we just need some respect. Clemson coach. Brad Brownell, you see what he came out and said?
Oh, God.
Talking crap about the Big 12.
Was he?
Yeah, he says because I think it's the net rankings. It's about margin of victory. I think that's what the net is. He said the Big 12 scheduled a bunch of cakewalk games in the non-conference, so it build up their points per game, point differential. Mm-hmm. And it's made them have all these ranked teams now, and it's overranked the conference, I guess. Hmm. And he called them out, the Big 12. Shout out, Brad Brownell.
Might be the best thing that's ever come out of his mouth.
Yeah. but Villanova, I don't know. It's bubbled teams like Gonzaga, even if you put Gonzaga back in that conference conversation, it all comes down to what they do in the conference tournament. Those teams,
I mean, it's just interesting because
gotta win a game.
Because, like, you look at this, like, they have St. John's in right now, and, like, I think St. John's is a bubble team at best still at the moment. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I look at this, too, and they don't even have – they have the leader, technically, of the Big Sky in right now with Eastern Washington, but, like, Weber State – was leading that conference up until a day ago or 2 days ago, and they aren't even listed as a deeper bubble team on this either. You know, like it's just one of those things where it's like I look at some of this stuff. It's like, you know, I get it, right? I mean, to some degree, and even then, some of these deeper bubble teams, right? I mean, they have teams that are only on one bracket, like UNC Asheville, above teams are on like multiple, like Central Connecticut's on 56 brackets right now. And they are listed below teams like on one bracket, like I said, like UNC Asheville, Toledo, for example, too. Well, Toledo one's interesting. I guess that would be projecting them to win the MAC more than anything else, so which is possible. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, even then, locally speaking, like Cornell's had a really great year, and they'll probably be on the back end of the fact that the Ivy only will send one school in because they only send one, and they don't technically have an automatic bid at that point either. So,
and then you got schools like TCU got a better chance of getting a quality win over a team like New Mexico.
Well, I don't know about that one.
Well, New Mexico's in the Mountain West, right? But Wake Forest, even.
Yeah, it's probably the better example, honestly, this year.
It's huge to have that opportunity to get a quality win.
So your bubble teams, by the way, folks, bubble teams that are technically have some eligibility restrictions or ineligible. The A-Sun has three that are semi-in right now. A lot of it depends upon whatever because of their limitations. That's Lipscomb, Eastern Kentucky, and Kennesaw. Your bubble teams that have record cases but can't make the tournament because of whether they have been elevated from D2 or switch conferences. Bellarmine, shout out locally to Lemoyne. Lemoyne's had a quietly good first year inside the NEC. Lindenwood, Queens, St. Thomas, Southern Indiana, Stonehill, Texas A&M Commerce, Tarleton State, UC San Diego, and Utah Tech. So those are the ones who have credibility to make it but will not be able to no matter what. So
Shout out to A-Sun, always hosting the start of March Madness each year.
And a little bit different for them, too, this year even. They are doing every single game except, I believe, the championship, which is at a neutral site court, at the home team at the higher seeds arena. So they begin tonight. Or no. They began last night, off today. Quarterfinals on
Thursday. They began Monday.
Oh, no. So then the quarterfinals are tonight, semifinals on Friday. And I think the championship game is on Monday or something like that. It's pretty interesting. I kind of like the idea of that. If you're one of the mid-majors like that, like the A-Sun, it's an interesting, different way to do it. I kind of like it.
Shout out my friend Nate Severance, Vermont.
The Catamounts.
Yeah, because they're like a powerhouse in the American East.
They are the powerhouse in the American East.
Their conference tournament is always this...
At UV.
Is it the Sunday or the Saturday morning before selection Sunday? I think it's Saturday morning.
I feel like it's on. Yeah, it's got to be.
I think it's the Saturday morning before selection Sunday. He always texts me. We're going back to the tournament because they still have that Syracuse win. Was it 2004 or something like that now?
Yeah.
They still have that win. It's the greatest win ever in Vermont history. But Anthony Lamb, good player, a few years back.
That'd be like riding, if you're Cleveland State, riding that Syracuse win from years ago, even though you've had multiple better ones since. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I always love diving into some of this stuff, and we haven't gotten as deep as I thought we might, but that's okay.
Why do we have conference tournaments still? Like, can't these – you're a Division I conference. You know, can't you get your own tournament location? Like, why are we still playing home court
game. That's a good point, I guess. But, I mean, you have to remember there's a cost element to that at that point. And I actually like what the A-Sun's doing where, you know, championship game is going to be on a neutral court. But, like, I kind of like how you're playing. You go every other day to rest and travel and stuff like that. And, you know, it's unique. It's different.
The big ones are, you know, every day.
Yeah.
ACC still takes center stage, though. You know, they got that still good.
How's it?
On ESPN, it does.
Does it?
Because they don't carry Big Ten games anymore, right?
I think Fox has that, yeah.
I don't think they have any rights to the Big Ten anymore.
I think they have the Big 12, though.
Yeah, the Big 12 they do.
Yeah.
The SEC they do, obviously. But the Big Ten, no. I don't think they even have rights to them. They used to show games.
You know what? I'll do this now. The conference tournament still has center stage. It's not even a question. In my mind, it's the Big East. Mm-hmm. Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Not freaking Greensboro, even though it's not in Greensboro this year.
I hope you're talking about the old Big East.
Oh, even the new Big East. Mm-hmm. They're in Madison Square Garden.
I know, it's just not the same.
It's not the same, but they have better opportunities at this point year in, year out than like the ACC does. Can't argue that. Marquette and UConn last year, same thing this year. I don't know, you tell me. You tell me, Nick.
UConn is a national champion. I'll give them that. I don't know. Back in the old Big East, just watching the games during school was awesome. I just miss those days. Mm. And
I was like stoked for Seton Hall Providence at noon.
At noon, yep.
For lunch.
A lot of times Syracuse, because they were the one seed back in the day. Yeah. They would be playing at noon that first quarterfinal day. Yeah. Syracuse played a lot of noon games because they were either the one seed or now they've been that 8-9 game for so long. They could fall right back in that spot. I don't know if they're going to fall that far, but
they're
all bunched right in there, so we'll see. But no, conference tournament week is still – I still enjoy that a lot because it's like a little taste before the big show, and I always liked that about that.
Right.
And you hear – NCAA tournament rumors going to 72, 76 teams. What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
I think it's perfect, but they're always going to expand.
Yeah. I mean, money talks, right? How would that work? Would it just be
the
top four teams in each region get a bye then at that point, right?
72?
Yeah. I guess, no, that would be more at 76. 72 would be.
We're at 68 now.
Would you just add more play-in games at 72 then? Just add two more play-in games at that point?
Yeah, it's just four more playing games. Right. 76.
Yeah. Yeah.
72.
I mean, I don't. I don't know.
Also,
I don't know. Money. That just feels like a money talks type thing. But I mean, I get it. I mean,
John Rosenstein of CBS brought this up.
My guy, we sleep in May.
Yeah. Not a big Leaf Day fan. He's like, one day longer than March.
Exactly, exactly.
He's a funny Twitter guy.
He's one of my guys for CBS, like I said.
Yeah, he's awesome. That guy knows everything about college basketball. But he says, why do we have, yeah, it gives the 16 seeds a chance to win a tournament game, but 16 seeds are winning tournament games now. I mean, why do we still have playing games? If you win a conference tournament, you should have a spot in the round.
I've always said that.
It should be the four playing games as of right now. It could be eight. They should be the last bubble teams that made the tournament. They should be the playing games. They're better games. No offense to the 16 seeds. Watching them go.
The disrespect to Stetson and Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
I mean, sure. I'm a college basketball guy. I love the tournament. I get pumped for the 16 seed matchup. But I just think ratings would be better for a better game like that.
Dayton going crazy.
And you should get a reward for winning your conference tournament.
No, I agree with that. That's one of the things I've always said. I don't like how the play-in involves locks.
Yeah.
You know, the way the play-in game was designed was supposed to be for these teams we just weren't for sure with, you know? So, I don't know.
Here's an error that nobody remembers. Remember when it was just one play-in game?
Yeah.
I
do.
Did they even show that game?
Oh, yeah. 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 That was in Dayton as well. Locked in always as Dayton. It's great.
I can't remember that.
Mount St. Mary's against, like, Cal Poly. Great. Chef's kiss.
What was the point of that to go to 65? Just to give them a win?
68.
No, 65.
Oh, the team? I think it always just kind of came down to, like, kind of like those mid-majors, you don't know what the hell to do with them type thing. Kind of how it is now, but to a lesser degree, I suppose. I don't know. I think it had to do with the fact that there's just, like, a lot of conferences and, you know, I don't know.
300-something teams now.
362.
And we're only letting 68 in. I mean, that's tough to make.
Yeah.
It's a tough tournament to make.
Mm-hmm. And you know what the beauty about all of it is? Like you've been mentioning, conference tournaments continue through next week. We still have regular season stuff to make up. All the stuff right here may not make a difference by the time we meet up in 7 days. Maybe completely different.
You regretted that. You want to pick it up.
No, I don't. I'll pick it up at the end of the show since we're pretty much are there. So that's the beauty of it, right? It's like everything, freaking throw it out the window, you know? Gonzaga 2 weeks ago was on the bubble. Now they aren't. You know, you never know what could happen.
Shout out ACC Women's Tournament starting this afternoon.
Yep.
You think a little tease here, the Women's Tournament. You think Iowa's got a shot of winning it?
No.
No. South Carolina.
South Carolina's a freaking wagon. Like,
but they have escaped by some teams.
I'm just saying. And Iowa hasn't.
But Iowa's lost.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
But Iowa has the experience, has a star player.
Iowa's very easy to beat. As much as I am pro Caitlin Clark. Like, Iowa, you just literally run the epitome of Jordan rules. You just let Clayton Clark go and do her thing, and you just shut down everybody else.
Whatever South Carolina, 29-0, whatever they are now, they are the least threatening 29-0 team I've ever
really
seen. Yeah. They should have lost. They could have lost to Georgia that one game. They almost lost to Tennessee their last game. Yeah, they're not. I don't think they're winning it.
Syracuse, it's time to shine, baby.
Hey, they're a former runner-up.
Uh-huh.
That was a great year.
It's our time.
Yeah. Notre Dame?
Never know. The fighting Muffet McGraws.
She's not there anymore.
I know she's not, but Muffet might be one of my favorite names of a coach ever. I mean, it's better than being a grown man named Bobby. It's like, hey, it's head coach Bobby Knight. Hey, it's head coach Bobby Cox.
So my final question for you here, Paul. Are you going to Greensboro next week?
No. There's nothing in Greensboro. The women's tournament.
There's the Grasshoppers.
Paul Skeens ain't going to be there.
Nope.
So.
No, he won't. But.
It's my thoughts on that.
Pirates leading spring training home runs right now.
Grapefruit League champions.
I don't know if they've ever won it. Angels and Cardinals are both two-time league champions of their each respective conference.
The Cactus League and Angels. The Grapefruit League for cards, yeah. homerless Cardinals, but
nope, Goldschmidt hit the first one yesterday. Not surprised, it was Goldschmidt, but first home run.
I'm saving the rest of my talk on them for a couple weeks from now. I'm about to destroy some people locally potentially with my take on the Cardinals.
Favorites to win the division, yeah.
Which I don't get at all, but we'll save that.
Especially something Gray's hurt now.
We'll save that.
Juan Soto's look up.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll save all that for a couple weeks. So appreciate everybody for tuning in. That will wrap up our college basketball Bubble Watch Fresh Takes episode for the week. Nick, who are you shouting out? You got a week here to make up for it.
Yeah, week to make up for it. I think it's a perfect time for a belated birthday shout-out.
Okay.
Justin Kiefer's birthday was yesterday.
Happy birthday to Justin Kiefer.
It was yesterday. He's 29, obviously.
29 forever.
I was talking to him a little bit after I said happy birthday. Seems a little down about his Capitals.
Well, that will happen.
The era is coming to an end.
It's been at the end.
But, yeah, officially all the players are leaving. So, a little down as Capitals. But I said, keep your head up. There's a new era coming.
Keep your head up.
New era coming. But shout out, Justin. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Happy
Justin.
Birthday, yeah. So, go Hershey Bears.
Yeah, he's not confident what they got down there either.
Oh, wow. That's not good then.
He says even Hershey. Not great.
Oh, boy. Well.
They're defending champs, too.
That concludes our AHL talk for the year.
Yeah, we'll see next year on the AHL.
We'll see you next week for Fresh Takes. We'll sign off on that note. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. Hey, follow us on TikTok. We got stuff going on over there. Root for your favorite bubble teams, bracket busters. Can't wait to break that down even more in a couple weeks.
The Lions, Wayne, Dundee,
yes,
Bradford.
All the remaining schools that we got going. Been a fun one, Nick. We'll see everybody next week.